Thank you, Miss Rachel. Welcome, everybody. Good to see everyone here on this beautiful Lord's Day. Appreciate each visitor that's among us, and we want you to feel welcome, feel right at home. And join us as we try to sing number 109 in the Heavenly Highway hymns. This is by George Beverly Shea. There's another song, same title, I'd Rather Have Jesus, but we'll do the Shea version. 109. Can you say that and believe it?
Yes,
that's right. Nothing else matters. Everything else pales compared to Jesus. Everything. And won't it be wonderful there, 135. Let's follow that on that intimate. 135.
Trouble.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate the good playing by Sister Rachel. It's good to see everybody out today. Good number today. Several visitors with us. I think many for the first time that I've saw you. I'll put it that way. And we're just glad to have each and every one of you with us today. And I want you to make yourselves right at home here in the Lord's house today. A lot of times we say that with people. Just make yourselves at home. That was an old saying that we used to say when people would come to visit. And the idea was they were to take the best chair. If they needed something to drink, most people will offer them something to drink. Maybe you'd like something to eat. I've got some cookies. Maybe it's something else. But the idea is you make yourself just like one of the family. And that's the way that we as God's people ought to be. We ought to be able to go into the house of God and just be at home with all of God's people. I'm thankful that we have that opportunity this morning to come in to worship God today in this service. We're thankful that each and every one has come out today. Let's be about God's business. And when I say that, I mean for us to think about what would God have me to do today? And then be like the old prophet, Lord, here am I, send me. So many times in these days, and we talked a little bit in our Sunday school lesson today, so many times when the Lord, we say, Lord, hear my, send me. But when he says, go, we say, Lord, now? Can't I wait till later or do it sometime else? The idea is we said, Lord, hear my, send me. Let's go. And I do believe it's needful that we get to the work of God and do it just the way the Lord would have us to do it. It's good to see everybody today. I'm gonna be quiet and go on with our message, go on with our lesson today. Brother Chris is going to do our children's church today. Y'all are in for a good treat. He always blesses me when he does our children's church. He's coming over here, kids. So all the young kids, come on up, and we'll take older ones too. Is what we'll do. So come on.
All right, let's divide up into two teams. Separate them out right quick.
Well, they got to get here first. They're not all
here. Oh, well, come on. Y'all go. All right. Task this morning is going, this is my coffee cup. The task is we're going to pick up this table and move it to the flagpole and not spill my coffee cup, okay? Y'all got it? Y'all know what we're doing?
I'll say it again. I hope
you weren't listening.
I'm trying to get everybody attention.
All right, everybody listening? All right, here's the goal. Pick up the table, move it to the flagpole, don't spill my coffee. You got it? Y'all got it? All right, you got to divide it.
This is my team.
All right, this is my team. Y'all my team. All right, y'all go on that side of the table. We're going to be on this side of the table. All right, y'all come here.
Well, this is
around the table. Everybody get you a spot.
Everybody have food.
Come on, man. Woo, we got a big, I should have got a bigger table. All right, here, scoot around this way so she's got room. There you go. All right, y'all ready? Everybody got it? Let's help spill my coffee. You ready? Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, I spilled my coffee on her. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right. I think y'all good. You think it was good? All right, let's try it again. Y'all ready? We got to do character. You
want
to get
they don't want my help this time.
All right. Y'all ready? Here we go. We ain't moving. What's wrong? Woo! How long? We're still talking. Sit down.
Where are y'all going?
What you need to do in life is have a goal, accomplish the goal, celebrate the goal, and then stop and move on to the next thing. So what were we trying to do here? What was the goal? Move the table to the flagpole, right? But everybody didn't get the same instruction, did they? Everybody got moved to the flagpole, but some of you got moved to that flagpole, and some of you got to this flagpole, right? And once we got all on the same page, we were able to accomplish the task, right? Well, here's the verse I want you to remember. It's Mark 4 and 24. And it says, now this is written in red. What's written in red in the Bible mean? Jesus said. So everything in the Bible is important, but if it's in red, it's like really important, right? All right, so y'all listen. This is what he said. Think carefully about the things you hear. So y'all all heard move to the flagpole, but you all needed to know exactly which flagpole to move to, right? So you want to always think about the things that you hear. There's going to be people tell you stuff sometimes that's not true. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk to God and ask him what's really true. And he'll talk to you. He'll talk to you just like he talks to everybody else. Because he made you and he wants to talk to you. So just talk to him if you ever have a question. Think carefully about the things that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you finish the task, always celebrate. But remember to stop and move on to the next task. Don't just keep trying to celebrate the same thing over and over. And one other quick thing, and I'm going to steal a thing. Did anybody see that basketball game last night? Y'all did? And y'all saw him hit that shot? Well, I'm going to steal a quote from Meshach. Meshach's the kid that hit it. If y'all haven't seen it, y'all need to see it. See me after and I'll show you a video. But this is what he said, and this was, it just fit right in, and I thought I needed to use it today. This is what he said. He said, God may not care about, this is three things, and they're all true. God may not care about wins, he don't. God may not care about losses, he don't. But God cares about me. And I want y'all to always remember that God cares about you. 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 you. God cares about 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 you. And God cares about you. And he does it, and he cares about you.
Amen.
That's great. So, all right, let's stand up and let's all say this verse. Mark 4:24. Think carefully about the things you hear. All right, now let's celebrate getting finished and let's stop celebrating and get back to our room. Good job, good job.
Thank you, God. Thank you, y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
As I said, we was in for a treat. I always enjoy Brother Chris's children's church. He always has a little different innovation than myself, and usually it's better. I think kids enjoy it that way, and we appreciate him doing our children's church today. It's good to see each and every one out here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? Go ahead, Brother. Yes. Just remember this. Somebody else. Yes. Remember this. Somebody else.
Brother, I had a co-worker who lost his wife last Sunday night.
Or here.
They got 3 children, ages 10 and under.
Ooh, wee.
So everybody knows who that is. Lord knew that from that is, so please pray for my co-worker.
Or here. Just remember this. Go ahead.
A friend of mine, Bill Frisch, his wife was in the last stages of puberty. Over 4 cancers.
Over here.
Stage 4. So she was in 3,000 centimeters. Like a piece of matches.
Over here. Let's remember this also. Somebody else. There. Go ahead. Go ahead, Miss Ned. Yes. Good to have you with us today, by the way. Glad you and Sister Nettie got to come out again today. Somebody else?
Brother Hack.
Yeah.
First of all, I thank the Lord for saving myself.
Lord bless.
Pray for my girls and all lost at our church.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yes, sir. Lord,
and she's in hospital up there in Murfreesboro. Sister Cindy Chandler, I don't know if y'all know her or not.
Oh, yeah.
So just pray for her that the Lord do what he wants done. And
yes. Lord bless. Let's remember this request also. Somebody else. Let's don't forget Nathan Righthouse. That's true. Somebody else. There was other prayer requests during Sunday school. We need to remember them in our hearts too. You may have not been here during Sunday school. I invite you to come. I invite you to come. We've got teachers and classes for all ages, and we'd love to have you to come. But if you wasn't here for our Sunday school class this morning, those prayer requests, God knows what they are. So while you pray, please pray for them, is what we asked you to do. So let's be about the Lord's business today in this service. I've kind of got on my heart this morning. We don't do this real often, but I think it'd be good if we had an altar of prayer. We've had several prayer requests today. We've got revival times coming up. The church where my granddaughter goes, well, it's at the Christian school. They'll meet with the Christian school. That revival will start this week, and they'll have service every day at that Christian school. 137 kids that these preachers will get a chance to preach at. My granddaughter's one of the ones that's lost, and I would love for her to get saved this week, if not before. And not only her, there's probably well better than half of them don't know the Lord. So remember that revival. There's other revivals that are getting time for revival season. And it won't be long till ours will be coming up. And we haven't elected a helper for our meeting. And we just got a lot to pray for. So I want you to, let's come into the altar today. And I want us to pray for our lost. But I want you to add in there that our church will do what God would have it to do today. So everybody, I'll give you time to get down here. Everybody, I know not everybody's able to come and kneel down here, but we want to give you an opportunity just to come and have an altar of prayer this morning. And everybody follow the Lord, everybody that will, let's come on down. We'll call on one to start a prayer, but we want everybody to pray. Everybody that will, come on down.
Continue our song service. Please turn to 143. 143. Turn over toward the back. Do two verses of 209. 209. you'll indulge me, let's do a couple verses of 211 for our last number. 211.
Good morning, everybody. Appreciated the good number that came up to the choir this morning. I'll say if you can sing, you're welcome to come up and join in. It always helps out as far as the singing is concerned to join our hearts together, but I always love to hear you out there too, so don't think it's just for the choir to sing. It's best when everybody lifts up, makes a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's always best when we all join our voices together and that we can serve the Lord in such a way. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we get started? Asked you to pray, be prayerful for us today. If you want to follow along in your Bible, turn to the 136th chapter of the book of Psalms. The 136th chapter of the book of Psalms is where we're going to take our lesson from today. I think that the way I think this message is going, it's going to be a little different as far as the way that it's constructed. Nevertheless, we want to follow the Lord more than anything else in this message today. But we're going to try to start with this. There's four sections in this chapter. If you want to read ahead of me, that's fine. And see if you can figure out the four different sections of this psalm that is written. I personally don't really believe it was written by David. I don't know who actually, well, let me back up. It may have been, but I've found where some says it was probably even written after the Babylonian captivity. I don't know. To me, it favors Solomon very much. But in looking at this today, I want us to pay attention to some of the lessons that are going to come out in this lesson today, in this psalm. It says in verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto God, to the God of gods, for his mercies endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. In this psalm, if you look at every verse of it, it has that last phrase in it. For his mercy endureth forever. You'll notice that the endureth is actually in parentheses, and that meaning there was not actually a Hebrew word there for endureth. But what it would have actually read, his mercies forever, is really the way it would have been written in those days. I want us to think today about the mercies of God in this lesson today. I want us to think about what it means to be mercy. Now, when I was a kid, we played a game, and a lot of us boys did that, where that we clasped hands on both sides, and whoever was the strongest put the other one back farther until that person cried out for mercy. And the idea was, let me loose, I'm hurting. But actually in this scripture here, mercy is not talking about it in that way. It is partially that way. The word here that was used for mercy, it actually meant kindness or pity. In a sense, pity was that type of mercy that I was talking about today. But truthfully, in this psalm here today, as it said, his mercies endureth forever, it was talking about the kindness of God. It was talking about how kind God is to us. I want you to take, for instance, in these first three verses, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. In these three verses, you're going to see the mercies of God, the kindness of God, in that we serve the greatest God that there is. Now, I want to make an emphasis here. Not too long ago, I heard about someone saying that God recognized that there was other gods. I don't believe that God recognizes any other gods in this world. He is the only God that there is. All other gods that are in this world today, they are the gods of man, brought up by the imaginations of man. And you'll notice I said the imaginations of man. Men brought these gods into their minds, saying that they could be something great and that they could follow that thing that they called a god. But we serve the only true and living God. God said himself, I am God. I am the Lord, is what he said. And in this, we find the kindness of God. That what we have today in this life is the fact that we serve the only true God there is. There are many people out there today that will serve themselves as a God. But we serve a great God. You're going to see in this message, Lord willing, just how great God is today. I want you to take a look at the next few verses here. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercies endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercies endureth forever. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercies endureth forever. To him that made the lights, for his mercies endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercies endureth forever. the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercies endure forever. To him that, stop in there. When you look at this, you are going to see the power of God in these next few verses. You see that God created all things is what you will see in these verses here today. We understand that God created all that we have today. I look out the window today and I see a beautiful Lord's Day. I see the grass, the trees, and I look forward to the time when that they will green, become green, and everything will start to grow and blossom. I know the world's idea about this is that they were just something that happened to happen. But we understand today that God, being the great God that he is, he spoke all of these things into existence. He brought the grass up on the ground. You'll notice that he said he brought out the earth before that, and then the grass later on. He made the sun to rule the day. He made the moon and the stars to rule by night. And you might think, well, just that's a great thing. But every time that we look up into the heavens, that should remind us of the greatness and the goodness of God. Now, why did God make this earth? Because he had love for his creation. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, I believe it's in the 5th chapter, where it said, he made all things for his own pleasure. In other words, out of the goodness of God and out of his own pleasure, he made everything that we have in this world today. And I'll even go as far to say, even you yourself today. I'm not a product of mankind. Yes, I was born to a man and woman, but God is the one that gave me life. He is the one that showed us his loving kindness unto mankind that we could enjoy the things of this world. That's what God made all of these things for. It's in his intention to make man that it would be to their pleasure. He put man in charge of all the things of the earth. They gave them dominion over all the animals of the earth and the fishes of the seas and the birds of the air. God, in his greatness, brought all of these things together in our hearts. I want you to look right quickly to the 5th verse. And it says, to him that by wisdom made the heavens. God in his great wisdom did all of these things. And many times people today will say, well, why did God do this? Why did God do that? I've looked at a lot of animals in my life. I always think about the platypus. It's got a duck bill. It's got web feet, but it looks about like a groundhog to me in many ways. Why did God do that? He had a purpose in it, in doing that. That creature serves his purpose here on this earth, and it's for his pleasure that he did it. It's in his wisdom that he made the giraffes as tall as they are, the elephants as big as they are, the ants as small as they are. It showed the greatness and the wisdom of God to put each and every one of these creatures up on this earth. And to be honest with you, sometimes I, in my questioning of things today, I look at different situations, and I say, Lord, why did you ever put man up on this earth? The way they act towards you, The fact that they don't trust you for their salvation. The fact that they create in their minds vile imaginations to think of the sins that they do. Why in the world would you have done that? Well, it was for his pleasure that he made man, but he did not make them sinful. Man did that to himself. All God did was said, do not eat of one tree. And if they had not eaten of that tree, they would have still been sinless. But the fact of the matter, when that Satan came along and he tempted them and told them that they could have a understanding and be like gods, it caused them to desire to have that wisdom. And because they desired it and saw it was good for food, how they looked at it and decided to take thereof. The woman did, and she took and she ate, and then she presented it to her husband Adam, and he ate. And that's when sin came into the world. Now let us move on from this part. And you might find this part just a little bit different today. You think, well, it's done well past. But I want you to listen today as we start with verse 10. And he says, to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divideth the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote the great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And he slew Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. And we'll stop right there for just a moment here. Looking at these verses, and like I said, you thinking about the children of Israel, how they was over there in a foreign land, you might say. They were slaves to the Egyptian people. They had taskmasters that whipped them, that beat them, in other words, and just treated them awful in those days. And they cried out unto the Lord that they might be delivered. And God sent a man to them. And we know that man is Moses, is the way we hear that as the story goes. And God, through the power, his power, through Moses, how he brought plagues upon the children, the people of Egypt. And the fact of the matter was that God was the one that delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. You'll find that there in those verses, how that those things. But why did God do that in that day? Some people says, well, looks like God was very harsh on the children of Egypt. He was harsh to them. He plagued them. He brought trouble upon them. Well, first of all, the Egyptian people were sinful people. They were sinners in that day. They had many sins in their lifetime. But God wanted to show them who was God. I want to use this term for you just for a minute. He wanted to show them just who was boss. Pharaoh was considered to be a god. Did you know that? He thought himself to be a God. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever man considers himself to be a God or to know right and wrong better than God Almighty, I'm going to tell you, he's in danger of feeling God's wrath. And what the Lord did in that day, he had compassion, first of all, upon his own people. And he brought them out of Egypt by a strong hand. So all of these plagues that were brought upon the Egyptians, by the way, did you realize the children of Israel did not suffer those plagues? You know, most of the time people think, well, it was just that final one where that the death angel went through and they put the blood on the doorpost, and so he didn't come into their house and take their firstborn. Neither did the other plagues bother the children of Israel. I'm going to tell you something. When you're God's child, you are a privileged person. God will take care of you. I'm not saying that you won't have troubles and sorrow, but you are one that God has mercy on. He has kindness towards you. And because of that, he will allow you to go through that suffering, but he's got a better day coming, is what he's going to do. You'll notice in that reading lesson, he said that he delivered them out of Egypt, but they got up there to the Red Sea. And when they got up there to the Red Sea, he just plainly said it. He parted the waters. Then you know the story. You probably watched the movie and saw how the waters parted up in the movie. I don't really believe it done it justice in that way, because God, he divided a great sea and he put it on one side and the other. Now, I'm going to ask you something. If you was looking at, we'll say 30, I'll even say 10 foot of water on this side and 10 foot on this side, and the Lord said you march between that, I'm going to ask you how your faith is. I'm of the opinion that water was probably at least 30, if not 50, if not 100 feet deep on each side. And God stood it up. And he said, y'all go through. God gave them strength to go through that water. Do you ever think about that? When you're going through the troubles and trials of life, if you'll talk to God about it, he'll give you strength to go through that. He will. He'll give you the strength to go through that terrible time that you're going through. He'll bless you. He'll give it to you because of his kindness towards you is what he'll do. You may think, oh, I'm out here by myself. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, he's right there with you. He took the children of Israel through there. And when it was all said and done, they'd gotten across. The Egyptian army had decided to follow them in there. And God made a great overthrow of them. Took them all away. The waters fell in on them. Why? Well, one thing is God wanted an example to be made of them because they would not heed to the warnings of Moses, to the warnings of God. There's coming a time when every sinner in this world that has turned away from God, they're going to be drowned in their own sin. And what does that mean? They're going into the devil's hell. That's where they're going. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's a fact. That's scripture right there. They're going into a devil's hell, and they're going to stay there. They're not going to live there just for they until the time they burn up. But it is an eternal death. They're going to eternally stay in that separated state away from God. Now, I want you to notice one other part of this verse here, if I can find it here. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. How many times have you ever heard somebody talk about heaven being the promised land? That's what the children of Israel called Canaan land. Sometimes they'll even call it Canaan land. Camping in Canaan land is one of the songs that I always love to hear. But the fact of the matter is, we have an enemy that had a home in heaven. And that enemy, when he went away from God, his pride got the better of him. And he lifted himself up against God and he was cast out of heaven. You know who gets his place? You that are saved. That's your heritage. That's your inheritance, in other words, that he has given unto you. Now, let me move right along. In verse 23, he says, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy is forever. Endureth forever, excuse me. Endureth forever. We were redeemed. I want you to think about something. They considered it, the children of Israel did, that they had been redeemed. They'd been paid for. They'd been bought and paid for when they got over into the promised land. But I want you to understand something today. If you've been saved by the grace of God, there was a price paid for you. In redemption, it means there was a substitute made. In our day, when we go to the grocery store or to Walmart and we buy something, we exchange what we call money, and they give us the product that we want. In the state of our soul, when we were sinners, when we were sinners lost, and I'm going to use that word lost right now, because we were so separated from God at that moment in time. Why? Because we were sinners. God was not going to look upon sin. God hates sin. But there needed to be something to pay the price that we could be saved. We had to have a redeemer. And what he said, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. In God's great kindness, he looked throughout all of heaven, I believe. He looked throughout all of mankind. He had the foreknowledge to look at Adam all the way down to the very last one that was born. And he could not find one that could pay the price. The children of Israel sacrificed lambs and sheep and bullocks and doves and everything. But none of them could ever save a soul. In other words, pay the price. Pay the price for my soul. But in my low estate, when I was a sinner, God, in his compassion, in his kindness toward me, toward you, toward every man, woman, and child, paid the price with his own son. My goodness, what a great and loving God we have today. Why in the world did he do all of these things? Just out of his kindness, that you might be saved. He says, and hath redeemed us from our enemies. In the eyes of the children of Israel, that was the Philistines, that was the Egyptians, that was the Amorites, the Babylonians, that in their physical minds, that was all of their enemies. We've all got a few enemies around in our lives, don't we? But there's nothing like the enemy of that devil that's after us, that's searching after us, trying to cause us to fall. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, he's trying to devour you today, isn't he? And if you're lost and away from God, he wants you to stay right where you're at because he's got you. Yes, sir. He's got you right now. It's not a matter of he will get you. If you're a sinner, he's got you. But there's a great God who had compassion on you. And he wants you to trust in him. He wants you to believe that he is the real God, the only God. He wants you to come to him and leave Satan behind. Now, right quickly, who giveth food to all flesh for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to call to your attention. We say it on a regular basis. How many of you have trained your children to say what we call the Lord's Prayer? Many people are calling it the model prayer now. Have you ever noticed the very first phrase of that? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, the Lord said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what that means, hallowed? Lift him up. Shout his name. Praise his name. Thank God for him. Why? Because he had enough love and compassion to make sure that you had an opportunity to be in this house today. He had enough love and compassion in you today to give his son for you. Not for you only, but for your children. For your grandchildren. Have you been praying for them? Have you been seeking their salvation? Oh, the Lord is seeking them, but we need to be seeking them out too. Hallowed be the name of our Lord. Lifting him up. Why? His mercy. Whew, that's good right there. He's merciful to me, a sinner. That's what that old publican said. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Thank God he was merciful to me. Thank God he's merciful to this town. Thank God he's merciful to this state of Tennessee. Thank God he's merciful to this state of these United States. Thank God he's merciful to this world. For if it had been up to judgment of God, which is true, and would give us just exactly what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be. Just on one fact, the majority of this world today will not believe in God and how great He is. His mercies endureth forever. Let me get one more thing. Now, hush. Hadn't planned on bringing this out. How long is forever? Ah! How long is forever? I've been around 67 years now. Some of you have been around longer. Some of you have been around a lot less, and you don't really comprehend that much about how long it's going to be. And I'll tell you what, as far as forever is concerned, I don't have the slightest idea how long it's going to be. I can't comprehend it. But the love of God's going to endure the complete time of it. Ever how long it is. You know, them few little moments when we feel that love so strongly, that's just a taste of what's all the time being with God. Brother Sam, that's going to be our message today. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord and free pardon of sin, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, these benches are down here as a convenient place for you to come and pray. It's a convenient place, as you saw earlier, for saved people to come down and pray. This is a convenient place. I just asked you to make an altar. You don't have to be up here. I always say this at our singings. You don't need me to get saved. You don't need any preacher to get saved. All you need is Jesus Christ. And when you start today talking to the Lord, talk to Him. And He'll listen to you. Why? Because His mercy is still forever while we stand and sing.
232. 232.